It's been a rough week for Barcelona. A loss midweek, plus the loss in the El Clasico to Real Madrid. There's no better guy to talk to than TV3's Jordi Sunyer. He joins me now. Jordi, thank you so much for coming on, as always.
Thank you for having me on the show, Glenn. Pleasure, as always.
All right, before we get into El Clasico and the tactics and the way this day really played out this past weekend, let's talk a little bit about simply the fact that, you know, when I'm watching the images of this game and the fans are back, majestic images at the Nou Camp, just take me into what that meant to people in Barcelona and Spain and fans of La Liga, really.
Okay, there are several sides of this story, because it's true that it was the best gate at the Camp Nou after the pandemic. There was not a full house because, as you know, the capacity for the Nou Camp is 98,000 spectators, and there was a gate of 86,000. But at the same time, normally before the pandemic, you always expect a Clásico to be a full house at the Camp Nou. And it wasn't the case, because that means that even if all the restrictions from the pandemic have finished, there's many people, there are many Barcelona fans who are not eager enough to go to the Camp Nou to watch this Barcelona team in play, even in El Clásico. So it was difficult to get a full house because of that. You know, in other matches this season, without restrictions, gates were half the capacity of the Nou Camp. 47,000, for example, was the last gate against Dynamo Kiev in the UEFA Champions League. At the same time, before the game, there were 35,000 tickets on open sale. That means not for FC Barcelona members. And many of these tickets were sold to Real Madrid fans that came from Madrid, or tourists. There were lots of tourists again at the Camp Nou. So pictures were majestic, as you were saying, for everyone. That's great to see the Nou Camp again, not absolutely full, but with the best gate since the pandemic. But it was not that beautiful at all, because as I was saying, there are several sides to the story.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3 in Barcelona, Spain, joining us. 2-1 Real Madrid. David Alaba, 32nd minute, then stoppage time. Lucas Vázquez and Sergio Aguero also scoring in stoppage time for Barcelona. Okay. This is a different Barcelona. A year ago, Lionel Messi was playing in this game. Where is the Barcelona fan base in a nutshell right now?
It's difficult to say, because there's this feeling among Barcelona fans, a feeling that the same Ronald Koeman expressed in a press conference some weeks ago. It would be, in Spanish, it's es lo que hay. In English, that would be what you see is what you get. And it's hard to swallow that, because there are many Barcelona fans that, okay, know that this team cannot fight for winning La Liga. They can be happy if they are able to go through the first phase of the UEFA Champions League and qualify for the last 16, because of course the standard of the team has lowered a lot in last years. But many fans resist this vision of what you see is what you get, because you see other teams, for example, all the games yesterday in La Liga, Sevilla versus Levante, that was a 5-3 thriller, or Betis versus Rayo Vallecano, or Atletico Madrid versus Real Sociedad, in footballing terms, all in footballing terms, were better than the Clásico. The standard of the Clásico was appalling, I would say. It was, I think, one of the worst Clásicos in years regarding the level of play by the two teams. So you see more humble teams that have a plan, have an idea, know how to play, know their players and how to get the best of these players. Why don't Barcelona do the same? Okay, that's true. That's not the same team of Messi, of Neymar, and Suarez. I heard today a commentary that I think it's true. Barcelona with Messi, Neymar, and Suarez would have scored 5 goals against yesterday's Real Madrid.
But let me stop you though for a second. Come on, we get all these types of comparisons from the media, Jordy, but. Come on, the reality is you've been able to have those types of players. Lionel Messi is a fulcrum of this club. Now the good times for the time being are over. So are Barcelona fans obviously going to be willing to suffer through times as they try to rejig things and get things back in a better place? And how much patience do they have? And what are we finding out about the fan base?
But this is very difficult because, of course, it's very easy to say, okay, this is a transition season. We're building a new project. We have to rely on the youngsters like Gavi, for example, or Nico Gonzalez or Pedri. Okay. But when you come to reality, everybody wants to win and everybody wants to get results. The thing is, if you consider that a season winning Copa del Rey like last season was not a good season for Barcelona. Imagine the reaction from the fans when you get another blank season without any silverware. It's very easy to say that you have to rebuild. The truth is that one, Barcelona has to rebuild from scratch, from the ashes. There's no money at the club. There has been a loan granted by Goldman Sachs of nearly 600 million euros just to pay salaries, just to pay the most urgent debts in Barcelona. And it seems that thanks to this loan, Barcelona can spend around 20 million euros in the January transfer market to bring new players to the team. But 20 million euros in today's football market is nothing. You can sign first level players for Barcelona's first team with 20 million euros. So it's very easy to say that, but it's not that easy to get Barcelona back on track. And with Ronald Koeman, I think it happens the same because, okay, he says he wants to lay the foundations for a new Barcelona, for the Barcelona of the future. But you have seen many matches this season in which Ronald Koeman plays for winning, or not for winning because he's not winning, but for getting a result. There's this urgency to get a result. And there's many people here in Barcelona, an important part of the media and the crowd, which are followers of the philosophy of Jochen Cruyff, like a religion, I would say. And this is not the philosophy of Jochen Cruyff. In his first 2 years as Barcelona coach, Jochen Cruyff won a Cup Winners' Cup and a Copa del Rey. It was from the third season on that team, Jochen Cruyff's team, became the dream team. So it's not easy, but in reality, there's this urgency in Barcelona fans to get results, which I think are not possible in the current situation unfolding at Barcelona.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. Jordy Sunyer, TV3, joining us right now. You know, it's kind of hard to go from having this messiah who's deified, like Lionel Messi, to now that, you know, who is it? Is it Memphis Depay? Is it Ansu Fati who's trying to develop his career? You know, who is that face and messiah now? I mean, it's not possible to replace Messi. Who would that be now?
Ansu Fati, for sure. Even the club have renewed his contract, and they stage all this show about his renewal this last week, days before the Clásico. He's seen as the player that has to lead this Barcelona revolution, and he's really been the only player that has been able to bring illusion and bring faith to the fans. A homegrown player, even if he came to Barcelona when he was 12. He played for one season for Sevilla before and in his hometown in Andalusia, but he's a homegrown player coming from La Masia, and he is presented as the symbol of the new Barcelona. But we have to look at Gavi. I think Gavi yesterday was one of the best players on the pitch because of his attitude. Of course, he's a 17-year-old player. He's not a senior. He's as we say here, juvenil. I mean, he would normally not be playing for the first team due to his age. He's not 18. But his attitude, his will to compete, the things he does. I think, Ansu Fati and Gavi and Pedri, of course, are the three key players for rebuilding Barcelona. But, among all of them, the first of them, of course, Ansu Fati, no doubt.
We're talking to Jordi Sunyer, TV3. I mean, obviously, because of the financial problems, it has opened the door for opportunity for other players, hasn't it? That would not be seeing the field likely if there wasn't this giant financial fallout, right?
Of course. Yeah. And that's a good thing. In every crisis, there's an opportunity. That's a business motto. But in football, I think you can also apply that. Many Barcelona fans, many sections of the media have been claiming for restoring this weight of homegrown players in the first team, not bringing so many players from abroad. And this crisis situation, and I think Ronald Koeman believes in that, brings the possibility for Nico, for Gavi, not Ansu Fati because he was playing for the first team already last year, but for many young players claim they are able to get first team minutes. And that's good because the best teams in Barcelona history, the dream team by Johan Cruyff, Pep Guardiola's team, you may remember that in several games during the reign of Pep Guardiola, Barca played with 11 players, 11 homegrown players from La Masia on the pitch at the same time. This doesn't happen anymore. We are more than happy if 7 or 8 homegrown players are on the same time on the pitch. This is a good thing for the future. It comes from a crisis, but this is a good thing for the future.
Jordi Sunyer, TV3, brought to you by DaspitLawAustin.com and DaspitLaw.com. All right, so you just mentioned La Masia. Where is the health of La Masia? Where is the priorities lie with them now? Do you see another group of players coming through here in the future? You know, because we always hear about La Masia and how it's supplied teams around the world. Where do you see youth development at Barcelona right now?
There are always breeds of good players that everybody points at. For example, this year, there are very good news about the 12-year-olds, which we call here the infantil. Obviously, we are talking about players that we cannot know at the present time if they will be great players or even if they will play the game professionally in the future. But La Masia keeps working. But they also need, La Masia needs also to rebuild because, for example, Barcelona, last week, not that week, the week before, there was a mini Clásico, the second teams, of Real Madrid and Barcelona playing one against the other in the Spanish third division, at, the Estadio Alfredo Di Stefano in Madrid, the stadium where that was the home for Real Madrid during the pandemic. It was a dull 0-0 draw, an appalling match. But you saw Real Madrid, the second team, the B team of Real Madrid, playing with all Spanish players, bar one. And all players had spent at least 1 year in the academy, in Real Madrid's academy, in the juvenil team, in the youth teams. Barcelona B played with 6-7 players signed for this season, only for Barca B. players who are playing in other teams that don't know who what La Masia is, that don't know the what we call here the ADN of Barcelona, the style of play, the way of playing. That has to be changed because that's not the philosophy of Barcelona. Barcelona B has always been a team that has been fed with players coming from the lower ranks. And that's a thing that must be changed. So La Masia is not in its best health, but good players keep coming. Also, because guys keep playing on the streets, you get a lot from playing on the street and learning tricks and learning things that cannot be taught in an academy. And there will always be breeds of good players like the one I was telling you before. But several things also have to be changed in La Masia. Let's hope that in the last few years, these issues are changed.
All right, let's go to Serginho Dest, the U.S. international. He chose the United States. He's become a starting player for Greg Berhalter here in the U.S. during World Cup qualifying. Got pushed higher in this game by Ronald Koeman. Had that wonderful chance to put Barcelona up 1-0, which have completely changed the entire day. What type of reaction have fans had to him? Is he a well-liked player in Barcelona? Take us a little bit into how people are reacting. I mean, obviously, they're upset that he didn't take that chance because it could have been a different day.
I knew you were going to ask me about Serginho Dest, and I was thinking, how can I sum up Serginho's performance without being too harsh the American
player? Let it go, Jordy. Let it go. We're all about the real here. We don't want fluff. We don't want sugarcoating. Let it go.
No, he was not that bad. But no, the thing is, Serginho, as you know, he's a right back. As you were saying, Koeman pushed him higher. He's not a winger. And he's not used to getting these open goal situations like the one he got yesterday that could have really changed the game. The way he shot, you normally don't expect a striker, a proper winger, to shoot like that. He's not used to have this situations. He was playing against Real Madrid. Of course, you see him playing for the United States national team, but you see him scoring screamers and spectacular goals. But against who? With all due respect, but Honduras or Trinidad and Tobago or El Salvador or whoever are not Real Madrid. So it's different. And he, I think he's an example of that kind of feeling I was telling you before. What you see is what you get. Serginho arrived in Barcelona with only 20 or 25 first team games experience at Ajax in the Dutch league, which level is lower than the Spanish league. And I think you cannot demand any more from him or the feeling that among the fans.
That's what I was going to get at, or the expectations now, because there are opportunities for players because of the financial fallout. Are sometimes the expectations too high on these guys? And the reality is this was where they are as a player, and the hope is they're going to get better in the future. Is it hard for people to kind of find that common ground?
Now, look, let me tell you one thing, because I think there are common issues with Serginho and with Frankie de Jong. You have seen Frankie de Jong being yesterday against Real Madrid, but also in the last few games, being a shadow of the player he once was, even with Barcelona. But of course, Frankie played more games for Ajax than Serginho Dest did. But here you have two players molded in the Ajax way, in the Ajax style of play, that play now for a team that doesn't play like Ajax plays anymore, because Barcelona has, even with Ronald Koeman, abandoned this philosophy. And you watch Barcelona against Bayern Munich playing a defensive game like they were I don't know, Burley or I don't know, a lower division team, giving the ball to Bayern Munich and expecting not to receive many opportunities. So I think it's difficult for them. And the feeling among fans about Serginho is, okay, he's not a bad player, but in the current situation, he's a young player playing for a team that's not a good team, playing differently, that playing in a different way than the one he was accustomed to at Ajax. It's not easy for him. Obviously, there are criticisms about not Serginho, but with Frankie de Jong overall, because you have seen him playing very well with Barcelona. But I think we have to put everything in context, and that would be a good point on why Serginho is not being as brilliant as you could expect in a player that is so important for Ajax 2-3 years ago, and that Ajax is not that is not willing to let him go. Barca had to pay a high amount of money to bring Serginho to Barcelona.
Jordi, as always, we thank you so much for coming on. Greetings from the United States to you, as always, in Spain, in Barcelona. And thank you so much for coming on. We always appreciate your insight.
Thanks to you. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you, Glenn.